Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning to Synergy Connection Radio. Before we get started, I wanted to address the fact that some of you may want to help those that have just been impacted by Hurricane Michael. People who want to help, here's a few options. The American Red Cross, of course, and are collecting blood donations, especially for O positive and negative. They're shy of that up there. Also, the Salvation Army is taking donations. AmeriCares is another one you can donate to. Global Giving is another relief fund. And of course, if you happen to be in the area and you were not too heavily impacted yourself, you may want to just offer your time and your physical support by helping to remove tree branches and other kinds of debris and just offering a helping hand. So our prayers go out to those families that were impacted by Hurricane Michael. My guest this morning is Dr. Paula Nelson, who is a licensed clinical social worker with a practice in Dunedin, Florida, and her training covers addictions and trauma, and she specializes in premarital, marital, couple counseling, and helping individuals with their addictions, anxiety, depression, or low self-esteem. She's going to be sharing with us this morning how she helps couples cope with the stress of the holidays. Some of you may remember how I spoke about the importance of listening, and that was in the very first show. So Paula's going to now explain how this works in order to find compromises during an already stressful time of the year for many families. The first question we're going to address is how much money should be spent. And of course, this involves many considerations, such as the number of people that are outside of the immediate couple. So some families are pretty large. So Paula, what is the best way to tackle this very delicate question?
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me here today. I appreciate it, and it's great to be here. There are a lot of extra and unforeseen expenses during the holidays, and the key is communication. Plan in advance, and come up with a budget that you can both agree upon. Remember to factor in not only gifts, travel, and entertaining, but be sure to add a line item to the budget to capture the unexpected expenses, because there's going to be unexpected expenses. Try to come up with a sum that lands kind of in the middle. You know, it might be more than what one of you wants to spend or less than the other. This is where communication, listening, compromise comes in. Once you agree on a spending limit, and it's going to be difficult to come to that compromise, but it's the only one you're going to have to face on this topic. It'll be done. That's it. Just agree at that point not to complain, blame, or bring up the issue again.
Okay, now one of the things that I used to be aware of is sometimes you can do a family gift, you know, as opposed to individual gifts. Is that something you would recommend?
Absolutely. If you know, that's an option for the couples to talk about. This goes back to what was done in your childhood family. We tend to follow what was, well, in my family, we used to do this growing up. So again, it goes back to sharing each other's stories and listening to one another so you can come to a compromise. One person might feel like, oh no, we didn't do family gifts. So you have to have that conversation.
So a lot of people want their own individual gift and not something for the whole family.
Right. right?
Okay.
And then my husband and I will promise each other not to get each other gifts because we're going to save our money. And then we always go back on our promise. So we do exactly what I said not to do about budgeting.
Right, right. Do as I say, not as right. I do. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
So I hear a lot in my private practice about gift giving. You know, what if my partner hates my gifts, my significant other hates what I give them, or I hate their gift. So you can eliminate this stressor by giving each other a list of gift ideas. Now, I know you don't like that. It takes the surprise and the spontaneity right. out of right. it. However, it also eliminates disappointment and conflict. So you can even get around this by giving a big list of ideas and have your partner choose from that list. That way they're still surprised. You're not exactly sure what you're going to get from the list. Again, the key is communication. You know, rather than expecting your partner to be a mind reader and to just know what you want, communicate, and then you'll avoid disappointment.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite gifts that I received from my husband many, many, many years ago now was we used to go up to an area called Door County, Wisconsin, and it's just filled with artists. And so I had seen a particular piece of jewelry that I really liked, and it was rather expensive. And so, you know, I just looked at it. That was the extent. But he ended up going up and getting it for me some weeks later. And when Christmas time came, I had this gigantic box that was by the tree. And I couldn't even imagine. I thought, well, maybe a big stuffed animal, you know, something like that. And instead, as I opened it, it was one box inside of another box inside of another box until I got down to the final box, which was probably all of about 5 inches. And I can't even tell you how many boxes I opened up. But when I got to the final box, I knew what it was because I knew that he had remembered that it was something that I really, you know, liked. So that was just, you know, it was a surprise, but it was very sweet, you know, that he remembered that. So
a lot of people are intimidated. They think that they're horrible gift givers, and they're intimidated by giving a gift.
I think it really kind of plays off of how well you listen. You know, that's that whole listening skill. And are you listening to clues, you know, that maybe somebody does give
right.
along the way? Or, you know, some people are just super creative, but otherwise, just learning to listen helps a whole bunch.
You know, and the electronics, the iPhones, the iPads are helpful today because as you're out and about and shopping, if
take
your
a picture.
Partner, you know, makes mention of something, you can even make a note for yourself.
Right. Well, and sometimes you can take a picture of it.
True.
You know, so, and then that's a visual reminder for you because not right. everybody's auditory.
Right.
Okay.
Another helpful hint is that online you can go and take the 5 love languages little test.
Where do you go take that?
Just Google the 5 love languages and it'll bring up the website. And
okay.
It's a free test that you and your partner can take. My husband and I just did this. And the 5 love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. So you can each take the test and it'll give you what your top 1 or 2 love languages are. And if you know your partner's love language, you might want to give a gift that speaks his or her language.
Can you give an example of that?
Well, this is interesting. I had a couple come into the practice and they didn't speak each other's love language. The husband's love language was gifts.
Mm.
And the wife's love language was quality time. Well, he bought her this beautiful piece of jewelry, and she was so disappointed, and he was just baffled, like, what? This cost a fortune. This is amazing. But she just wanted to spend time alone with him during the holidays. And we tend to do that. We tend to give the gift that we like. You see something in the store and think, oh, I like that. I'm going to get it for so-and-so, you know, from our love language. But it's not necessarily our partner's love language.
Right.
So, you know, that's an interesting little test you can take pre-holiday.
You know, that's a great idea for a lot of the listeners, I think, because they probably don't know, you know, what their partner's love language is. Back when I was in an active practice of my own, I did the Myers-Briggs test with couples because that helped them understand personality types. Mm-hmm. And I know most people would never think that I was an introvert, but in reality, I am. And I sit right on the line. I'm a four as far as an extrovert goes. So I can go either way. So I can stand in front of a couple hundred people and speak, but I also need a lot of downtime to replenish what I give. And so I think any way that you can help a couple understand how they communicate and the reason they communicate the way they do, you know, is really, really beneficial.
Yeah, that's great information to have.
Mm-hmm. It truly is.
Yeah. Another question that comes up a lot around the holidays with couples, what if my significant other doesn't get along with my family?
Oh, boy.
Or vice versa. What do we do with that?
Because, that would be tough.
Yeah, it's family time. You know, whether you want to be there or not, it's family time, and there's all these, you know, pictures and movies about how wonderful that is. But when your partner and your family, your extended family, don't see eye to eye, you can feel like you're, you know, in the middle of a tug of war.
Mm-hmm. Trying to keep all the pieces in place.
And you want to make everyone happy. It's the holidays. You don't want conflict. You
exactly.
Want it to look like it does in the TV shows. So the key to making it a relatively happy holiday is to tackle the situation as teammates. You can prepare. So if your family and your partner rub each other the wrong way because they disagree on politics, for example.
And that might be a tough one right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. So vow ahead of time that neither of you will drift into political conversations or take the bait or argue about an issue, kind of pre-plan. You can come up with topics that are safe, where everyone can weigh in, you know, without the conflict, like, you know, career or the new baby or the promotion or a new hobby.
Right.
Something relatively benign.
Right.
Another thing is check in with each other, because if you feel alienated, if your partner feels alienated from your family, it's important that you keep checking in, because the partner then will feel that you love and you're on the team and you're a partner, the best friend.
So are you basically, when you say checking in, going to them and saying, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, do you have any concerns that you want to talk to me about?
Give a hug.
Yeah, give
you
a
know,
hug.
A hug is right. Always good.
Maybe carry that mistletoe with you everywhere you go.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Have an exit strategy.
Okay, how would you do that?
So, you know, make it clear from the beginning that you might have to duck out early, you know, and if you're not able to physically leave for some reason, if you're staying, you know, with family, make sure there's some place in the house or outside to take a time out if you need a time out.
Right.
Or to check in with each other.
Right. I think there's a lot of people actually that, you know, go for a little walk.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have too much togetherness. Mm-hmm. And so this might be an opportunity to say, hey, and you know, I'm going to take a half hour walk, maybe with the dog or maybe just by yourself.
Right.
And it gives you a breather.
You know, and having that time, like, we'll stay here till this time,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll stay until, if you are visiting, we'll stay until 10, we'll stay until 11. So you have a pre-plan.
Right.
That you check in with each other, saying, okay.
Five more minutes.
Right. Time to start saying goodbye.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You may never convince your family to fall in love with your partner. But you can, you know, have a win by getting through the season without conflict. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Another concern that comes up is all of the holiday chores and responsibilities. There's so much.
Right.
There's just so much more. And again, unforeseen things that come up.
Right.
And again, communication.
There's, I can't even begin to think of all of the things that I used to do when I was in Wisconsin. But I know typically getting the carpet cleaned, making sure the windows are all clean. I mean, those kind of things before you have house guests.
Right.
That was just always a part of it. And you started getting ready almost the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I had a Dickens village scene, and it has multiple pieces. And I, of course, in Wisconsin, I could put it up the day after Thanksgiving and leave it up almost till Easter because it snowed so much. It just looked like a winter village. But it would take me 3 days to get that put together because it had little streets and it had lights. And so it was something that I loved doing, and nobody else really could do it except me because I knew what I wanted it to look like.
Right.
And yet at the same time, tremendous amount of time, you know, that was spent putting it together. That's why it stayed up so long. So, but yeah, there's a lot of things that go into getting ready, you know, for Christmas. And an awful lot of people don't even maybe understand that because they're not as maybe picky about the holidays as some of us, you know, I used to be. I'm not so much anymore, but I certainly was once upon a time.
Right. And again, the way to tackle that is to talk with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and make a list of all the chores and responsibilities that require attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll give you an objective view. It'll be down on paper, black and white. My husband always makes spreadsheets, so it's...
Does he do it with this, too? Like for the holidays?
He makes spreadsheets for everything.
For everything. Okay, so then you would know...
You have a visual.
Yeah, this... Okay, we're going to go get the Christmas tree, and it takes this much time. And we're going to wrap gifts, and it takes this much time.
Right. So add three columns. Okay. Mm. His Excel spreadsheets are much more complex, but you could just make three columns, one for you, one for your partner, and one for both of you.
Okay.
And then read through the list together and talk about each other's perception of how the holiday responsibilities were handled in the past, what worked, what didn't work, and how you would like them handled this year. Go through the items that are easy to assign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, choose who's responsible, you or your partner or both of you. And then check the appropriate task and the partner on the list and set aside the tasks that need to be talked about later. Some things just you have to put on the back burner.
I have a question with that. I mean, I'm structured and organized.
Yeah.
And not everybody is. And there's kind of a nice quality about learning from each other, that give and take.
Right.
I'm in the process of learning how to do that. But... you know, if you have like a spreadsheet, like your husband does, mm-hmm. with these different tasks on them, how do you go from the task that you've agreed upon to share to getting it on the calendar? Because some people, I mean, I met a guy yesterday, and he says he likes to have his schedule open all the time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked at him and I said, is that the way you kind of handle your bills too? And he squirmed for just a minute, and he said, no, he said, I have a lot of my bills already set up, so I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But for him, putting something on his calendar, you know, to go do, whether it's a movie or going out to dinner with friends or something, is like pulling teeth. He said it's really hard for him. So how would you go from your spreadsheet to, okay, this is the weekend that we're going to go hunt for our tree?
Again, what my husband and I do is we'll sit down with our phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have calendars on the phone.
Oh, geez. Okay.
You know, and I'll say, well, there's this, and this. You know, we don't have to, you know, do this, but let's put it in the calendar and then we can decide then.
Okay.
So there's some flexibility.
Okay.
Where it's on the calendar. However, we'll see what, if we're in the mood for that.
Okay, so you do kind of...
A little wiggle room.
Like if it doesn't happen on this date, we've always got this one that
right.
we can use.
We have plan B.
Okay, all right.
Or C or D.
Right, yeah. Because sometimes I think probably you almost have to have that.
Right.
And maybe it's a beautiful day and you really just want to go to the beach.
Exactly. So yeah, you're absolutely right. You have to have room for flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it really becomes a chore, right?
It would.
Yeah.
It would. Then everybody would go kind of kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. Like, I really know this needs to get done, but oh my gosh, I'd rather be doing something else.
Right. Yeah. Right. And John Gottman actually did some research on that, and he discovered that just purely equal division of chores
mm-hmm.
Can lead to resentment.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, each partner has to feel that the responsibilities are balanced.
Right.
So just that 50-50 split doesn't necessarily work emotionally. It works on paper.
You know, right.
But it doesn't work emotionally because then it can become a scorekeeping game.
I did this and you didn't kind
right.
of thing. Right. Yeah. I've seen that. Certainly in my own practice, I have seen that.
So he encourages couples, and Gottman's the premier marriage relationship counselor mm-hmm. internationally and internationally. He's done 40 years of research on what makes a relationship work.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggests that you have this discussion when you're developing this list of chores. Ask each other open-ended questions about the chores.
Sort of like, what would you like to help with?
Right,
okay.
Right. You know, and you know, truly listen to what your partner likes and doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you an opportunity to learn something new, like you were just saying.
Right.
About each other.
Right. And, you know, and again, it goes back to just those listening skills. You know, if you can actually sit with each other, look at each other, make eye contact.
Right, right.
And if you're not sure that you've heard what that person was really saying, you know, clarify it, paraphrase, you know, all right, I think what you're saying is this, you know, do I have it accurate?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, put humor into it so it's not such a rigid conversation.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense.
Which kind of segues into the next issue that comes up. How do we stay connected through the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone to a party and you're flitting around talking to everyone and you forget to talk with your partner?
I have in the past. I think one of the key issues here, as far as I was concerned, is my husband was very much the extrovert. He always had his hand outstretched. You know, hi, how are you kind of thing. And when I had to go to chamber functions, which I had to do frequently as owner of my company, I would gravitate towards people that I knew.
Right.
And so that's where my comfort level was, as more of an introvert than an extrovert. So at social functions during the holidays, I would have to find him. He would be off in some corner, probably talking with 3 or 4 or 5 people. And I would have been talking to somebody that I knew. And then, you know, they moved on. And I kind of looked around and was like, okay, now where is he?
You're just standing there. Right,
right, right. So, yeah, I mean, personality types do things differently. That's for sure.
And that happens a lot more than you think.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So next time you go to a party over the holidays, remember to spend time with your partner, too. You know,
yeah.
you don't have to spend every minute with them.
Sure.
But again, you want to check in.
Right, right. And I think that might be the key, is that hard part about checking in with each other, making sure that, you know, maybe they aren't feeling well, or maybe, you know, they want to move on, mm-hmm. you know, to another party, or they're ready to go home.
Right.
And so that extrovert might stay for hours. The introvert is kind of like, I'm done.
Yeah. And that goes back to the pre-planning, like mm-hmm. you did for the family functions as well.
Right.
Like, let's set a time,
right?
You know, before we even go.
Right.
And again, there's wiggle room,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we want to change that once we're there, but this is our target time.
Right.
So you want to put your partner on your to-do list because things get so hectic and you
right.
have so many extra responsibilities.
Right.
So, you know, give yourself a reminder to text or spend some downtime or express an appreciation.
Right.
And expressing an appreciation a day for your partner has a significant influence on your connection.
What is the most romantic thing that you and your husband do during the holidays?
I think it's the downtime. We took the 5 love languages test, and number one for both of us is quality time.
Together.
Mm-hmm. So it's really just kind of having that downtime together. And we sit down and watch the silly Christmas shows on TV.
What's your favorite one to watch?
The Christmas Story.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you're going to, you know, shoot your eye out.
Right, right. So and the lamp.
Yeah, the leg lamp. My husband actually bought the DVD for me. And, you know, so we'll sit down and watch Christmas shows, and I'll lay out a spread of, you know, munchies and crunchies, and we'll just sit around and comfortable sweats and relax. Mm-hmm. I think that's our best part of the holiday. What about you? What is?
Oh, golly. We had a couple of different things that we used to do all the time. I would say, much like you, we would have the Christmas tree lights on and nothing else. Mm-hmm. And we'd have a fire in the fireplace. And a lot of times we would talk about our favorite memories, you know, of the past holidays. Just because the memories are what you always have.
Right.
You know,
right.
The tangible things may get broken, may get lost, but those memories that
what
you make together,
connection.
Yeah, that is a good way to stay connected.
Yeah.
And I'm like you, quality time together means the world to me. So having relationships where you really are connected is important.
Creating a couple ritual is a way to stay connected.
Mm-hmm.
Too. My husband and I go out for Chinese food every Christmas Eve. It's our annual couple.
Do you go to the same restaurant all the time?
We find a good Chinese buffet.
Okay.
So, you know, think about a ritual you can repeat year after year that would add more joy and connection to the relationship. And it might be as simple as having hot chocolate together or, mm-hmm. you know, you're watching a favorite movie.
Right. What do you do if you have, you know, like a husband or a partner who is so totally into sports, mm-hmm. that's where their focus is all during the holidays, because you have all of these games that are leading up to playoffs, mm-hmm. and you're trying to get them away to go do something maybe more romantic.
Right, right. You know, and that gets back to our family histories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know each other's family history, like, well, on Thanksgiving, my dad and I used to watch football all day.
That's right.
If you understand that this is a childhood memory,
right,
then again, you can reach a compromise. But that understanding of the story behind the behavior,
mm-hmm.
is what is key.
Mm-hmm. Very true. All right. So I really appreciate you coming and talking about a couple issues that can arise during the Christmas holidays, because these can arise probably at any time of the year. It's not just, but they get exacerbated more during the holidays because there's so much stress and trying to get everything done. So I truly appreciate you coming by, and you're going to be here on a fairly regular basis to discuss things that happen in couples' lives or individuals' lives that might lead to anxiety or depression or even addictions. There is a new movie that is out called A Star is Born, and it's Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And if you haven't seen it, oh my goodness, it is such an amazing movie.
This weekend.
Oh, okay. You're going to have fun. All right. Just real quickly then, next week we're going to be talking about our chakras and the connection they have with our endocrine organs. So you'll find out what chakras are, how they work, their energy vortexes that are in the body. So please join me to find out more about how those two systems work hand in hand. Also, they keep you healthy. Or not, depending on whether they're balanced. Also, check on my website, the service tab. If you have any comments, then go to the contact us. I would love to hear from you. Some of you have been going, and I really appreciate the comments that are coming in. Anything you might like to hear in particular, let me know. So until next week, this is the Synergy Connection Show, and make it an awesome day.
Thanks.
Thank you
so much for having me.
Thank you for being here.